Welcome to the Lightly Salted Podcast. These are the readings and sermons of St. John's Lutheran Church of Park Rapids, Minnesota. They are offered so that the Word of God would shape and strengthen you to be what He calls you to be, salt and light. You can find us at stjohnspr.org. Now, on to the Word. Our Old Testament reading for this Easter morning is recorded for us in the prophet Isaiah, the 65th chapter. God's promises of what is yet to come. For behold, I create new heavens and a new earth, and the former things shall not be remembered or come into mind. But be glad and rejoice forever in that which I create. For behold, I create Jerusalem to be a joy, and her people to be a gladness. I will rejoice in Jerusalem and be glad in my people. No more shall be heard in it the sound of weeping or the cry of distress. No more shall there be in it an infant who lives but a few days or an old man who does not fill out his days. For the young man shall die 100 years old and the sinner 100 years old shall be called accursed. They shall build houses and inhabit them. They shall plant vineyards and eat their fruit. They shall not build and another inhabit. They shall not plant and another eat. For like the days of a tree shall be the days of my people, and my chosen shall long enjoy the work of their hands. They shall not labor in vain or bear children for calamity. For they shall be the offspring of the blessed of the Lord and their descendants with them. Before they call, I will answer. While they are yet speaking, I will hear. The wolf and the lamb shall graze together. The lion shall eat straw like the ox, and dust shall be the serpent's food. They shall not hurt or destroy in all my holy mountain, says the Lord. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Our second reading, which is the focus of the sermon, is from 2 Timothy chapter 2. Paul is writing as the Holy Spirit guides him to his beloved son in the ministry, a young man that he trained to continue on the job of pastoring. He writes to him this remembrance. Remember Jesus Christ, risen from the dead, the offspring of David, as preached in my gospel, for which I am suffering, bound in chains as a criminal. But the word of God is not bound. For I endure everything for the sake of the elect, so that they may obtain the salvation that is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory. The saying is trustworthy, for if we have died with him, we will also live with him. If we endure, we will also reign with him. If we deny him, he will also deny us. If we are faithless, he remains faithful, for he cannot deny himself. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. I invite the congregation to please stand for the reading of the gospel. The gospel is recorded for us in the Gospel of St. Luke, the 24th chapter. But on the first day of the week, at early dawn, the women went to the tomb, taking the spices they had prepared. And they found the stone rolled away from the tomb. But when they went in, they did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. While they were perplexed about this, behold, two men stood by them in dazzling apparel. And as they were frightened and bowed their faces to the ground, the men said to them, "Why do you seek the living among the dead? He is not here, but he has risen. Remember how he told you, while he was still in Galilee, that the Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men and be crucified and be raised on the third day." And they remembered his words. And returning from the tomb, they told all these things to the 11 and to all the rest. Now, It was Mary Magdalene, Joanna, and Mary, the mother of James, and the other women with them who told these things to the apostles. But these words seemed to them an idle tale, and they did not believe them. But Peter rose and ran to the tomb. Stooping and looking in, he saw the linen clothes by themselves, and he went home marveling at what had happened. This is the gospel of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Please be seated as we join in singing hymn number 461.
Hallelujah! Christ is risen. That's the greeting that we have come to learn and love this Easter season. It's one of the many reminders that follows the resurrection of our Lord. And throughout this Holy Week, we have talked about the word remember, how it's followed by an action. When we remember Jesus Christ risen from the dead, what action do we take? Do we really rejoice? Are we really filled with joy this day? Or do we just say hallelujah without anything behind it? Well, that might happen if we were on our own. But since Christ is risen today, we are not alone. He is living. And so all our actions tap into that almighty power. As we hear in Acts 17, in Him we live, move, and have our being. So when you remember Jesus Christ risen from the dead, what actions do God take? What action does God take in us? He raises us. He raises our hopes. He raises our joy. He raises our lips with joy and our lives. Today, we're reminded that Jesus causes His resurrection to be remembered so that we live with Him and that people will rise. Now, that first Easter morning, all those years ago, some women remembered the awful things of that Friday, the death of Jesus, and the unusual preparation of the body that took place, and what was not finished. So their action was to make their way, sadly and somewhat fearfully, to the tomb. They were fully expecting to find Him there, to finish the preparations. They weren't expecting a resurrection. They weren't expecting a tomb to be empty or the seal to be broken. As Luke says, when they came there, they found the stone rolled away from the tomb. But when they went in, they did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. They were perplexed about this. What a great story it would have been had they actually said, "Oh, He's not here. We remember what He said. We remember that He was not going to be here after 3 days." Oh, that would be amazing. And what a story that would be. But they didn't remember. They did not remember His words. They did not remember Him saying about anything about His rising on the third day. So God sends a reminder, a messenger, an angel to jog their memory. As Luke continues on, the angel tells them, "Remember how He told you while He was still in Galilee, that the Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men and be crucified and on the third day rise." Now when Jesus had told these things, He knew it was going to be hard to remember and harder to believe the things at first He had said. I mean, even in like Luke 9, we hear these words from Him. "Let these words sink into your ears." Unfortunately, those words did not sink too far. Because we're told later on in Luke 18, but they understood none of these things, The saying was hidden from them, and they did not grasp what was said. They forgot, and they were not filled with joy. They had fear. They had doubt. And when some actually saw Jesus, others did not even believe them. But who could blame them? Who could blame the women, the disciples, for not remembering everything that he had said? Can you blame them for forgetting these words? But yet, someone did remember. See, when the disciples forgot Jesus had said that he would rise from the dead on the third day, guess who actually remembered his words? His enemies. As the chief priests and the Pharisees came to Pilate, this is what they remembered. "Sir, we remember that how the impostor said that while he was still alive, after 3 days, I will rise. Therefore, order the tomb to be made secure until the third day, lest his disciples go and steal him away and tell the people he has risen from the dead. And that last fraud will be worse than the first." The enemies of Christ remembered what he said, and they did something about it. They sealed the tomb so that nobody would leave there, that nobody could get in there. In the meantime, these disciples forgot his words. These disciples spent long hours hiding in sorrow and in fear and unbelief, forgetting what Christ had spoken, still believing that the body is there, laid in the tomb. But Jesus would change all of that. So what about us? Do we sometimes forget? Do we forget the words of God? Do we forget the words of resurrection and live as though Jesus is still in that tomb? It's easy, and it does happen. But since we are united with Christ, there, even buried with Christ, as Paul says in Romans 6, do we live as though we are still in that tomb with him? As good as dead? Paul puts it this way, and we look to his excellent resurrection chapter in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. This is what he says if Christ had not been raised. "And if Christ had not been raised, then our preaching is in vain, and your faith is in vain. And if Christ had not been raised, your faith is futile, and you are still in your sins." That's the worst thing right there. To be still in our sins, separated from God, guilty of judgment, without hope, no hope for eternity, and little hope for the present. At that thought, we should be like the women, looking sad too, even fearful. But Paul goes on to talk about the importance of the resurrection for the future. For he continues on by saying, "If in Christ we have hope in this life only, we of all people most to be pitied." Who could blame us if that was the case, for looking sad and living sad? This life is often sad, challenging, and if not outright depressing. But then he negates everything he just says and finishes it up with those wonderful messages of hope as he gets to verse 20. And he says, "But in fact, Christ has been raised from the dead, the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep." Now, I don't know if you've typed that into your computer. I don't know how well your spell checker is. But mine didn't catch that. Sometimes it likes to recognize that word as two different words, but it's one here in Scripture. And that's important because it implies that there is more to follow. As Christ was raised from the dead, so all will those who are united by faith in him will also rise. Jesus causes his resurrection to be remembered so that the people will rise and have life with him. Now, while the women and disciples were still sad, not remembering, not believing, Jesus causes them to remember. He opened their eyes to really see him, and they were filled with joy. There are several instances of this. As we continue in Luke 24, the angels told the women to become messengers, to remind them, remember how he told you that while he was still in Galilee, that the Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men and be crucified and on the third day rise. And they remembered his words. And returning from the tomb, they told all these things to the 11 and to all the rest. And now even some of the disciples remembered some of the other things that Christ had spoken about. Going all back, all the way, if you go back all the way to the second chapter of John, we see them asking Jesus for a sign. And you see Jesus say this, especially when he speaks to the Pharisees. Destroy this temple, and in 3 days I will raise it up. Now, many of the Pharisees and chief priests and other leaders believe that he's talking about the temple of Herod. Well, yeah, definitely Herod at that point. But what is he really talking about? Was he talking about the building, or is it something else? And if he goes on by saying, but he was speaking about the temple of his body. When therefore he was raised from the dead, his disciples remembered that he had said this, and they believed the scripture and the word that Jesus had spoken. And if we continue on, looking back at Palm Sunday, his disciples did not understand these things at first. But when Jesus was glorified, then they remembered that these things had been written about him and had been done to him. These disciples remembered. These disciples believed. They remembered, and their lives were different because Jesus had risen from the dead, just as promised. Jesus causes his resurrection to be remembered so that people will rise and live with him. I suppose that thought has crossed most of our minds and during our time, that if Jesus appeared to us in person, it would be much easier to believe and to rejoice in all circumstances. But Jesus didn't appear in person to the women or to the disciples right away. It was an angel, a messenger of the Lord, one who appeared to the woman and said, he has risen, as he said. The angel told them to be messengers. He tells them, go quickly and tell the disciples that he has risen from the dead. And they departed quickly with fear and joy. We also get the word of Jesus' resurrection from another messenger. Holy Scripture. See, all the centuries that have passed, the Word of God is still telling us, just as he said, that Christ has raised. And we can also depart with fear and with great joy. Yes, these women were still frightened at what happened, but also joyful of what was happening and what was still to come. Now, I wouldn't doubt that they all tried to remember something else that Jesus had said, waiting as they are for these things to take place, what is coming next. What we should remember so that we continue to live in this joy on this Easter day is something that God causes us to remember. We should remember that we have Christ, that we should remember by placing in his word. As we turn to Romans 6, we hear this wonderful phrase from Paul, For if we have been united with him in death, in a death like his, we shall certainly be united with him in a resurrection like his. And again, if you look at Colossians 3, he continues on. If then you have been raised with Christ, seek the things that are above, where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things that are above, not on things that are on the earth. For you have died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. And there's more. So much more to remember. And so much that is there enough that every Sunday for the rest of our year, we can spend time in God's Word, causing us to remember that Christ's resurrection brings joy, that it brings hope, life, peace, and salvation. And in fact, that is what our worship is. Every Sunday, we get to have a little Easter as we're reminded again and again that Jesus has risen from the dead, that tomb is still empty. So let this phrase be ingrained in your bread and in your brain and on your hearts here this morning, that Jesus causes his resurrection to be remembered so that people will live and will rise with him. Christ is risen. Amen.
Thanks for listening to Lightly Salted. We'd love to hear from you. You can contact us at stjohnspr.org or look for us on Facebook, Instagram, and YouTube.
Our thanks to Eric Medeish at soundimage.org for Morning Dew.
God's blessings.